knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for
you. What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is something interesting. I learned something.
Indeed.
I was unaware of this, and
is that your first time in a long time learning something?
I listen to Alex a lot, so yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I haven't learned shit from that guy. I learned something that, honestly, I had every reason to know before, and I don't know why I didn't, quite frankly, but as it turns out, I only know when things come to our P.O. box because I get an alert from the store.
Sure.
Where the box is. They don't send you alerts when letters come.
Oh.
I didn't know that. And unless the person who's giving you the packages checks the mailbox, you'll never know.
That's not fair.
No.
That's not fair.
I found a bunch of letters in there the last time I went to pick up packages. And also, we're way behind on zapping up the mailbag.
Oh,
we'll get around to opening some of that up in the near future. But on the last trip I went down there, I got to these letters, and I got a particularly amazing letter from someone who I just want to call Dr. Justin.
That's what I was going to say.
Dr. Justin, to protect everyone's anonymity and their privacy. I feel like this letter is delayed because I have no idea when things come into the mailbox. But it was just an amazing.
Doesn't get more us than to not know when mail is.
An amazing letter, and I appreciate it so much. It really it meant a lot, and has been so. Thank you.
Yeah. No. Just tears. Yeah. Weeping. Just nonstop.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that letter with us, Dr.
Yes.
Justin, and
thank
congratulations
you
on your doctorness.
Hell yeah.
How about you?
My bright spot, Dan, is I have finally finished my 2 months long project, and I am done with Taylor Swift.
Okay.
For good. It's over.
You've listened to the whole catalog.
I've listened to every one of her albums, and I'm done.
Mm.
I'm pretty proud of myself.
How do you feel?
Fine.
Yeah. I expected that was probably the answer. I've intentionally not read anything that you've written about Taylor Swift because I don't want to get mad at you.
Of course.
And I think I've discussed this before. I don't want to pick a fight. I don't want to, like, hey, look, I love Blank Space. I don't want to talk about it.
Sure. I understand. I mean, it's unfair. I wasn't trying to pick a fight. I was trying to go so far over the top no one could possibly imagine that I would be fighting. At a certain point, I insisted that the guy who wrote Bloodsport was the writer of one of her songs. Do you understand?
Yeah,
I'm not going for realism.
I think the audience wants to know what your next extended exercise in misogyny will be. Maybe a bunch of articles about Mariah Carey not being as good as everyone thinks.
Well, that would just be impossible because Mariah Carey is exactly as good as everyone thinks, Dan.
Maybe next series could be about Pink.
Now you're just finding people you're defensive about now.
I like Mariah Carey. I like
everybody
Pink.
Likes Mariah Carey. Everybody likes Pink.
I don't know. I've met some Pink haters in my life.
That's fair.
Well, congratulations on finishing a project.
It's over with.
Yes.
I'm proud of myself.
And done.
Yes.
Let's not talk about it
ever again.
Jordan, something we are going to talk about is Alex Jones today.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to be talking about the February 8th, 2021 Blackjack episode.
No, I'm not even. I didn't even have a chance. I was watching your lips move, and I was like, and you had already finished.
When you see a pro like me, everything happens in slow motion.
Also, no matter how many times I sit there and think in my head, I know he's about to say the date.
Yeah.
I'm still caught by surprise every time.
It's also not quite fair because I can just keep talking.
Yes, that's true.
I can say 21 Blackjack.
Like, yes.
I can say it as one word almost, even. You're playing at a disadvantage, but I'm also very good at it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a double whammy.
This is Monday. We're talking about the day after the Super Bowl.
Right.
There'll be some thoughts on that.
I imagine so.
Oh, Nelly, are there some thoughts on that?
Oh, boy.
But more importantly, I think there's a big, broad push that Alex is engaging in that I think will be the direction of his content in the near future. And before we get down to business on that episode, Jordan, let's take a moment to say thanks to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Kami Wiseau, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Kami Wiseau.
I've never seen The Room.
That's, well, he wrote The Marx Room, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it could
yeah.
be. Have you ever seen The Room?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think everybody but me has.
It's very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to see it.
I understand. It'll actually make you sad, and you won't like it. You will not appreciate it. You'll be like, "This guy was trying so hard, and it's a bad movie."
Yeah, I don't know if I will. I don't like everything that I've seen surrounding it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not interested in what germinated all of these plants.
That's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, Lady the dog runs the simulation. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Lady the Dog.
Thank you. Next, Biggles dictates a letter. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Biggles.
Thank you. Next, I'm a hollerback girl. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Why don't you write a series about Gwen Stefani?
I might.
Bad.
She, all right.
Next, tomorrow's warm flat seltzer. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Next, joined just to ask what the hell do you have against accountants? We're not all Oogie Boogie sympathizers. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I believe that's a question for you, George.
I'm not saying that there's anything against accountants. I'm just saying that you can't be both an accountant and a boogie boy. I feel like that's right.
You can be a boogie boarder.
Of course. And you'd be a cool accountant.
Yeah, it might be very cool for an accountant. And then finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people who donated on an elevated level. Appreciate that very much. So, Intro Skipping Joe, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Grim Squeaker, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare Info War on you.
Ah, yes. Thank you so much, Joe, who skipped the intro, and Grim Squeaker.
Yes, thank you very much to the both of you.
Jordan, did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did not, and I'm grateful for it.
Did you? I saw some tweets. And then because of this episode, I watched the halftime show.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch that either.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. Although I did hear that Weeknd did stuff off of House of Balloons in the fucking...
What does that mean?
House of Balloons was his first little EP that came out. And
probably.
He did a lot of songs. Yeah. It was, that one was like really dark and just basically about doing coke and fucking.
Well, there was that song, like, I Can't Feel My Face When I'm With You. That was about drugs, right?
Yeah, that's all about drugs.
That's what I thought. I don't know that to be true. I just think I've heard that somewhere. Yeah, he did that for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
And then Starboy, except like... The chorus
was Daft
of that
Punk
is
there?
No, they were not, and I think some people were mad about that.
Yeah, well, I would be.
But the chorus is, "I'm a motherfucking star boy."
He is a motherfucking star boy.
You can't say that in the Super Bowl.
Yes, you can. Why not?
So you have to say, "I'm a star boy." This sucks.
Oh man.
I watched that halftime show, and we'll get to that at the end of this episode a little bit. But the only thing I was thinking was like, I can't believe that The Weeknd is this big of a star.
Yeah.
Like, I'm nothing against it. He seems like a talented guy, but just like, I'm so disconnected from pop culture that I'm like, wow, there's no surprise guests. There's no, like, I remember the days of halftime shows when it's like one
five
star is
people,
not enough.
Five different bands. Aerosmith's going to be there. Yeah. Metallica's going to play a duet with Katy Perry. Who gives a fuck?
NSYNC is going to come out of the floor.
Exactly. Yes.
And then Nelly's going to parachute in.
Shit yeah. comes out of the floor at the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's math.
Yeah. And it was just The Weeknd. It was a fine performance.
Yeah.
I didn't like all the songs. I think maybe it's somewhere a little bit boring. But hey, I'm not the target demo.
You didn't write nine different installments of something about it, so you're fine. Yeah.
Although Give me time.
Your turn next, buddy.
So that's about all I saw. I guess I saw a little, like a couple of choice plays, like that Mahomes pass where he was falling.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff. I don't know. I don't really have any strong feelings about it. The game. I guess I'm from Missouri, so I should love the Chiefs. I have some friends who really like the Chiefs, so good for them.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, we start with Alex in an out-of-context drop.
Mm-hmm.
That is a rare situation where I'm going to give you a little question ahead of time about this out-of-context drop. He's telling somebody to burn in hell.
Okay.
And I'd like you to try and guess who he wants to burn in hell.
All right. That is a lot.
Mm-hmm. No, you have to guess.
Oh, before.
Yes.
I thought you were going to go. Okay. Let's see. And this is after the Super Bowl. I am going to go with why not Bill Gates?
You're going to burn in hell, Springsteen. Burn in hell.
Nope. Bruce Springsteen's going to burn in hell.
Did he just find out that Bruce Springsteen doesn't like the far right?
Did you just learn that Born in the USA is...
I was going to say, did he just find out about Born in the USA?
He might have. He did not like that commercial.
Someone explained the song to me, and now I'm mad.
He resented the commercial where I guess it was a General Motors commercial where Bruce Springsteen was doing some voiceover talking about how there's a church in the middle of Kansas, right in the middle of America. It's hard to get to the middle, but it's like...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That somehow that pissed off Alex to the point where Bruce Springsteen's going to burn in hell.
All right.
Everybody should burn their Jeeps.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Okay.
Whatever. Anyway.
Is that more or less carbon in the atmosphere to burn your Jeep?
But Alex thinks we need all the carbon.
Oh, that's true.
So we start off the show, and Alex is in the exact mode that I like him to be in. This is when I know, like, okay, this show's going to be weird.
Okay, I tend to get up here on air and get really excited and cover a lot of news and still kind of not get to all the points I really want to break down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try my best here today.
Oh, no.
To just be calm, and we'll see how long that lasts, and just cover all of this. But it is becoming extremely, extremely clear exactly what is going on and what is unfolding. Now,
uh-huh.
Let me just... I can't do the show right now. I just can't do it. I got to reset. I got to go rebroadcast. I mean, this is all just too heavy. This is all too insane. This is all too serious. And I just need people to know that this is not a game, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Coming out of the gates, lot of energy, and then within a minute, being like, I can't do this.
I can't do this. Look,
shit.
We're going to focus. We're going to calm down. I'm just going to get through this.
I quit.
I am not going to be here for any longer. I'm done. Yeah, I got to get out of here.
He doesn't actually go to rebroadcast, but he does play some special reports.
So funny.
But not before teasing a little bit of what's coming up on the show.
Sure.
And I learned something interesting because of his tease.
Okay.
Jay Dyer is going to be in studio with us. He's a great author and researcher and knows his stuff. He's done more deep research on the globalist endgame than even I have because...
Did he make a movie about
it? I did most of my research 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Because I already know their operation, but he studies it going back as well, hundreds of years, but then on their current stuff. So I kind of use him as a Reader's Digest with his show and the things he does to go hear him boil down these books he's reading like every day, new ones, where they're going to just tear us apart and put us in camps and brain damage us and sterilize us, and they're just foaming at the mouth like satanic piranhas. Because it's hard for me to read their stuff, but he does it and then boils it down.
Alex could have probably just said it's hard for him to read.
It is hard for me to read is all I heard stopped. In that sentence. Yeah.
So, apparently Alex doesn't read primary sources anymore, but pretends to pretty extensively on air.
Yeah.
Can't read all this stuff. I just accept Jay Dyer.
You can't say yesterday I do all my own research and then say today I can't really do any research, so I just read this guy.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
And then I accept whatever interpretations he apparently has about primary sources that he probably didn't read either.
Are you kidding me? This man claims to read a book a day. How could I not take everything he says at face value, Dan?
Certainly.
Yeah.
So I got excited. I'm like, Jay Dyer, all right, I can't wait to assess you. I've heard him a bit on the show before. He's okay. Boring and stupid.
But that sounds bad.
I was like, well, all right, I'll get excited for that. Mm-hmm. Alex is in a bad mood. He clearly wants to storm off the show.
Oh, yeah.
He's got this guy coming up that I think I can sink my teeth into. Mm-hmm. And instead, Alex just, like, he plays a special report about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Okay.
And, like, it's this weird thing where John Bowne, one of Alex's employees,
yeah,
is trying to make an argument that Marjorie Taylor Greene having these committee appointments taken away, mm-hmm, is somehow a purge of all conservatives.
Yes.
It seems like a dumb argument to make. It seems like a bad...
Oh, yeah.
Because what you're doing is essentially equating whatever you believe in your rhetoric with her. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make that association, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
But I think it's a losing argument.
It might not work well.
And then, like, this argument extends to, like, what we need to do is we need to get them off their committees.
Okay.
And it's like,
all right,
go try.
Fine.
Yeah, that's called being politically active. If you want to,
I don't know,
start a petition.
There are, you can do that. You can vote.
Sure.
We vote on things.
Yeah, call your legislature.
Yeah, just go say
do whatever.
Vote.
Yeah,
not hard.
Yeah, this is a dumb video. Anyway, I got bored with that. But what I was not bored with is there's some more commercials.
Okay.
Last episode we talked about Alex's commercials, and it was a big hit. And I thought we need a little more of a taste of these commercials.
I have a question, because I have not heard of any really standout commercials, Dan.
From the Super Bowl?
I think we won. I think we had the best commercials of Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, can't think of whatever, like an advertising publication, but I think they would give the crown to Alex.
I think they would have to.
Yeah. Better than that Oatly commercial.
Yeah.
Better than the Bruce Springsteen commercial
that
Alex
hates. What are you talking
about?
Oh, there's a small town. No. Look, there's a small town. That's how you do the line reading.
This commercial might take the cake.
Okay.
I think it's my favorite.
All right.
I have to warn you.
Teasing it big.
Jordan, it's 4 minutes long.
That's not a commercial. This is a special report, then.
It goes all over the place, and it is so mopey. It is very. Okay. It's a bummer.
Okay.
So it was 4 years ago. I was in a custody battle with my ex-wife, and her lawyers were trying to introduce a video of me like 10 years ago, and I dressed up like the Joker to do an anti-Prozac ad. I said, oh, kids, take your Prozac. You'll see pretty colors and act all crazy, because the inserts of the Prozac class of drugs, antidepressants, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, admit it increases suicide risk and all sorts of other problems. And so my lawyer, at a hearing that I wasn't even at, said, he's playing the Joker there, just like Jack Nicholson isn't really the Joker. That's not really Alex Jones.
This was actually a defense of introducing any video of Alex on InfoWars.
Yeah.
The lawyer's argument was that he's a performance artist. Now,
yeah,
he did say that it would be like saying that Jack Nicholson is playing the Joker.
Correct.
But it wasn't just about a specific video that Alex is referencing where he does have Joker makeup on.
Right.
He's trying to conflate those two things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, whoa, this is like the first minute of this commercial.
Yeah,
I'm
really struggling with the commercial aspect of this.
We'll get to it.
Many commercials begin with, of course, I was in a custody battle 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
4 years ago, I was in a custody battle.
My lawyer said something weird. And
so that one didn't surprise me at all.
Hey, in order for me to not have my kids taken away from me, my lawyer need to make a really, really desperate argument.
Specious, even.
To keep my public persona out of court, so I wouldn't have to answer for why I scream about how my enemies are demons,
mm-hmm,
and literal devils, and
if
how I'm a psychic, and...
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to answer any questions about that because I'm a performance artist, but technically I don't want you, my audience, to think that because
right,
then the sales pitch won't work. But anyway,
exactly.
Have you tried Tums?
That's a preamble to a great commercial.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that got turned into Jones admits he's a character in court. Well, I'm the opposite of a character. I am who I say I am. I stand for how I stand. I'm the most unscripted person out there. That said, when I do research and I'm getting ready to do a video and I'm getting ready to break something down I wouldn't call it performance anxiety. Instead of getting butterflies when I get in front of a crowd, I get really hyper. And then I have all these ideas and things I want to say, so I move really, really fast. And sometimes you can lose all the key information in how fast I'm moving. But if you slowed it all down and search engine each thing I talked about, it's all huge stuff like world government, new world order, eugenics, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the UN Biological Diversity Assessment, 2002, 1992. I mean, all these things open Pandora's boxes, but see, I'm already getting excited.
We are now 2 minutes in.
This is not a commercial. This is a voicemail on his, like, ex-wife's phone. This is a voicemail. This is something that he sent to somebody drunk at, like, 3 a.m.
Okay.
Like, listen, 4 years ago, all right, I was in a custody battle.
First minute is about the custody battle stuff and how I'm real, man.
100% real.
Second minute.
That said...
Sometimes I get real excited and I just yell shit whenever it's time to deliver information. I kind of forget what I'm doing, probably because I'm on drugs.
If you would like to re-record your message, please begin again at the dial tone.
Let me, the time I have here, just be really straight with all this. A part of me wants to not be able to continue on at this level because my body's exhausted. My spirit's not.
That's speed. Darn speed.
Up here, yep. And I talk about all these incredible things that have happened. People can now see that I wasn't exaggerating. I wasn't lying. We're in a corrupt, psychotic, anti-human world government that wants to bankrupt us and make us really poor control our lives.
Sure.
And there's this paradox where people say, well, Jones, you've got so much credibility now, you need to continue on. I do want to continue on. It's just that I can't continue on because they took all my sponsors, they took most of my banking away, and I've had to rely basically purely on people buying products at InfoWarsStore.com. So I had a listener today on the Friday show calling.
That was a great time for a plug.
I wish you'd do more and expand your network. Look, I'm not complaining, but I spent about half my time trying to raise money. I'd rather be on air fighting the globalists instead of trying to raise money. I don't like coming to you either. I'm a proud person at a certain point, but look, we're all proud people. The point is, if you
what is happening
in this fight,
there's no reason for that.
Things happen.
There's no reason for that.
You have to understand that. You need to
listen, we're all proud people.
Come.
Sure,
and I'm not bitching at you. You can do whatever you want.
But why these are you great products, that?
And they've really helped a lot of people. They're high quality. No matter what the product is, they're all excellent. And on top of it, our mission is absolutely clear.
No, it's not.
And so I understand that InfoWars is kind of passe now. Because it's like, okay, Jones told us all this. It came true. Okay, thank you, Jones. What do we do? Well, we have to continue fighting into the future. So it's really up to you whether we stay on air or not. It's up to you whether we're able to reach out to new people.
Uh-huh.
So I know you already know all this stuff, but think about the new people and then just understand how important it is you buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. They're amazing products that make your life better, and they fund the InfoWar a 360 win. So think about where we are and what you've done funding this operation.
In advertising classes, they could break down how this is an effective call to action.
Here's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
End of season one of Mad Men.
Yeah.
Don Draper is looking at that carousel, mm-hmm. and he's thinking, I am going to say everything Alex Jones is saying in this one right here.
Hey, look, I'm not telling you what to do. You cannot buy a codec.
Look, if you don't want to see these pictures, that's up to you. I mean, we all like seeing pictures, but some people don't. I mean, that's fine.
I'm a proud man.
to a certain point. So many qualifications. So many constant, like, listen, you don't have to do this.
I heard that, and I thought... Who is in charge of quality control?
I don't know.
Who's in charge of, like, any of that could have gone?
You could have. Here's what you could have done.
Are you so desperate for something to be 4 minutes long?
Exactly.
To fit, like, in a break?
The only explanation.
Yeah, because...
only explanation.
There was a lot of fat in there.
Uh-huh.
There was not a lot of substance.
No. And you know what you can do? You can edit the video. None of it at the end relates to what he said at the beginning.
No.
At no point in time in his call to action, please go buy from InfoWars Store, do you need the added context of 4 years ago he was in a custody battle.
Nor do you need the second minute.
No.
You don't need any.
Just cut it out.
Yeah. Cool. I think he's having problems with employment. I think maybe he does not have the most capable hands on deck.
I think maybe he has very few hands, period. Mm-hmm.
So we get in this next clip here. We get to Alex getting actually down to business. And, you know, I think that you see here him complaining about, like, Maxine Waters and Hillary Clinton and great.
Sure, sure.
But we also see what I think is going to be the direction moving forward and how Alex is going to try and cope with the end of the really, like, the Trump season,
sure.
I guess.
Sure.
And the only way I can express it really is I feel like we're back in 2009.
Great.
And they are projecting the union psychology of the shadow onto you, period. You think Maxine Waters likes her evil, ugly ass? No.
What?
You think Nadler likes his evil, ugly ass? No. You think Hillary likes her evil, twisted butt? No. But
maybe
she projects it on you because these people are not retrospective and they cannot look within themselves.
Introspective.
Wow. Alex.
Knowing thyself is the highest order.
Alex.
Then you can know God once
Alex.
You know yourself.
Alex.
But if you don't know yourself, you don't know anything. Know thyself first. These people do not know who they are. They don't even know where they came from or where they're going. They just want to pull down everything good. So just as night follows day and day follows night, they are preparing massive false flags in this country to blame us, and they're going to try to move against us, and they're going to do it because they never got in trouble for all the things they did before. Because the corrupt lawyer-run Justice Department is so full of pedophiles and corrupt people, they literally existentially want to make a run at the American gun owner and the American Christian, and they're going to do it.
There's an overwhelming sense on this episode of feeling like exactly like the narratives of 2009.
Yeah.
They're coming for your guns.
Guns.
And they're going to do a false flag to make us look bad.
Totally.
It's just it was exhausting on a certain level because it was just like I feel like we've been here before.
Yeah.
And if you are somebody who is listening to his show, like, I don't understand how you wouldn't be like, hey, you've played this song before.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, you know, Fox News is going hard on hating immigrants now, too. So everybody's trying to step back and be like, remember when we could just be racist for fun? Come on, guys. This is going well.
Yeah. I think that there's a difference with Alex, though, and that is that he's playing this game that he played before with the same intensity before, and it didn't come true before.
True.
So,
or what if he just said it did?
Yeah, I guess that is an option.
Yep.
So it's going to be psych warfare. They're going to false flag all this.
We've seen it all.
The corrupt lawyer-run Justice Department is so full of pedophiles and corrupt people, they literally existentially want to make a run at the American gun owner and the American Christian, and they're going to do it. But they're going to do it first through psychological operations, and it's going to be bad. It's going to be rough. And you better get yourselves ready for it. And you better know what the different scenarios are that are going to unfold out of this. And I'll cover it all when we come back. Separately, we're not going to be on the air unless we have your support. Plus, we've got great products that everybody already needs.
You just did 4 minutes of a rambling nonsense commercial.
Sure, but I mean, that commercial was great.
Right.
Did you hear that? That was, what, 10 seconds tops?
No, it goes on from there.
Oh, well, there we go.
There's a bit I'm not playing for you. Where he talks about Winter Sun being
okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, you have this false flags are absolutely coming.
Sure.
They're all going to take a run at the gun owners and Christians. They hate all that is good.
Yep.
And, you know, hey, we got good products.
It's just
classic ad pivot business.
It's just not fair. They just shouldn't be allowed to just be like, okay, these past 4 years, we had a grand old time.
Uh-huh.
Ran roughshod all over your bullshit, killed a lot of people, and destroyed essentially anybody's faith in democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we're going to go back to just being mad about regular stuff now. Is that fine?
Yeah, we're just gonna
do what we did back then. You guys seem to like us more back then, right?
We're going to crawl in a little hole.
Yeah.
The angry Tea Party types again.
Oh, I don't like immigrants. Hey, doesn't everybody like the stakes being lower, I guess?
Well, yeah, everything has pretend de-escalated.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Biden was the devil.
He was the devil.
I thought the whole idea of him getting into office was an existential threat to literally everybody because he's controlled by China, which is controlled by the devil. And
you got it.
Also, the devil's controlling a whole bunch of other things.
Uh-huh.
But, like, Alex reveals how he and his staff talk about Biden, and it's like, you wouldn't talk this way if you actually thought he was the devil.
Yeah.
And so I remember on that same conversation on January 8th with some of my crew, some of the managers, they said, well, don't be too down, Alex. You know, once Trump's out and everybody doesn't think everything's fine, we'll have even more listeners because people are going to hate Biden. And I said, you mark my words. As soon as that inauguration's over and Biden's sworn in up there, people are actually going to give up and they're going to actually fall away to a great extent. But that's okay, because we've got a bigger number than we had 20 years ago or even 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. But all the sunshine patriots aren't winter soldiers. They're not going to be involved. They wanted to be part of the fantasy. But it doesn't matter.
So Alex and his managers have a conversation, and the conversation goes along the lines of they think it's going to be good for business that Biden's in office. And Alex says, no, people are going to lose interest.
Yeah.
That's the way they're talking about this behind the scenes. That's how they're processing this, whether or not this is good for business. It has nothing to do with their pretend nonsense about Biden being the fucking devil. That is performance.
Yep.
Anybody who thinks otherwise is, I mean, delusional.
Dumb. Yeah.
Now, at the same time, there is a real-world implication of a lot of this stuff. And that's where this discussion of how there's false flags coming up, where that becomes really important. And I have some thoughts about that.
Guaranteed, 100% confirmed. They've done it before. They stand to gain from it. They have a history of doing it. They have the means. They have the motive. And they are now pre-programming at a level I haven't ever seen, even before 9/11, even before Oklahoma City, even before other events, that right-wingers are going to engage in terror attacks, mass shootings, bombings everywhere. And that anyone that's pro-America or anyone that's pro-gun or anyone that's pro-life is a terrorist. And they're going to try to get the general public then in mass, the same ones that wear the mask, the same ones that do what they're told, to then literally in a Maoist revolution, not work with us, not talk to us, and actually physically attack us. And they've already beta tested the whole thing.
When Alex talks like this, generally what you should take away from that is he recognizes that he and his entire information economy, their information space, have made things too hot.
Yep.
They have got things too hot, and stuff's going to bubble over, and they need a preemptive justification and narrative for it. That is all you need to hear when Alex says, I guarantee false flags are coming.
Yeah.
That means, hey, Trump has an impeachment trial starting on Tuesday.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be some fucked up shit that ends up happening. Our people have been radicalized to the point of no return, thinking that he had the election stolen from him, a narrative that I have been instrumental in pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that all this is fake if it does happen.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
It's not just sad. It's, I mean, perhaps not legally criminal, but at the very least morally debased.
Yes,
yeah.
I would say so. And it's woefully transparent, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch enough of him and you see these behavioral patterns, it just becomes really obvious that I'm not saying that, like, Stuart Rhodes called him and said, I know someone's going to do something.
No. Yeah.
That would be conspiratorial and very irresponsible to suggest. But I think that Alex knows well enough to read, you know, the signs that are out there.
I would suggest that it's more just chatter. Alex is plugged into enough chatter where you're like, a lot of this is too hot. I can see somebody out there doing something.
He reads the comments on InfoWars.
Yeah, exactly.
So that should be some indication of
some people
the
are
public
talking.
Temperature.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If he even does that.
Right.
But even if you don't, like, you don't even need to go that far to say chatter. You could just say, like, look at the scenario. Look at the world. Look at what's happening.
Look at what just happened a few weeks ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
There was a bombing on Christmas morning.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I think that that is what's going on, and that is the big push that I was talking about, being like what Alex's content and his stuff is going to be moving forward.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of that, like, return to 2009 and then really, really stress that there's a there's false flags coming, and that's just to do preemptive damage control for people in those pro-Trump communities, should anyone take violent action.
Absolutely.
So all the other moves in the past that the globalists have made, all just leading up to this move. This move right now.
This one.
The false flag that will lead to the civil war, that will lead to
I have a quick
dominoes.
Question. Before we go any further, what happened to Plan B?
He didn't say that.
Oh.
And Harrison Smith doesn't work at InfoWars.
Well, shit.
In case you don't realize it, they're making their big move. All the other moves were probes. All the other moves were tests. All the other moves were just beta. This is the main assault. They're going to blow up federal buildings. They're going to shoot up colleges, churches, schools,
malls. Then why didn't
malls.
You tell us
they're going to
dump
chemical
the other
weapons
ones.
In lakes, in reservoirs. They're just going to be terror attack on terror attack as the globalist Chi-Combat Combine takes America down and causes a civil war.
So all the other, everything was prelude.
All
to this.
Of the other ones, all of the ones that I have screamed at you for 25 years being the most important ones that have ever happened. It turns out all of them were just probes.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Curious minds might ask, is it possible that you're wrong this time, too?
No. He's only been wrong every time for 25 years.
Is it possible that you have a currency bias, that you think whatever is happening now is literally the most important thing?
Could be.
So the dominoes, Jordan, are essentially false flag tips over, right?
Sure.
That goes off.
Okay.
And then it's used to make patriots and right-wingers look bad. So the public turns against
them.
Do
we need help with that?
Seems redundant after the storming of the Capitol.
I think we already did it.
Yeah. So that goes down, and then there's a civil war. But the civil war is only to, like, collapse the United States.
Sure.
And then death camps.
Okay.
This is all meant to trigger the civil war. That's the goal. So the false flag triggers the war on American patriots. That triggers the civil war and the breakup of the country and the end of the dollar, which they plan to have done in a year. And Biden's the symbol of the dying old America who will carry it out. He will then step down once America collapses. We're about 1 year out from the end of the country completely.
Well, that seems unfair.
We're a year away from death camps.
You just get to step down after you've destroyed the country? There's no, like, fanfare? He's just like, I'm out of here, guys.
I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't be, you know, the smoothest exit.
Listen, folks, I got a cabin. I'm going to get out of here. I got to go. This place is a shithole, by the way.
I think this is nonsensical. And it's also deeply irresponsible to tell your already terrified and paranoid and gullible ass audience that you're a year away from death camps because of fucking Joe Biden.
Why in God's name would somebody bother with a false flag whenever you just said that you're a year away from death camps? So you should be out and out being like, we got to terrorize these people. Otherwise, we're going to be in a death camp.
I mean, it's you know, terrorist edging mixed with terrorist pre-rationalization and denial.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But there's other folks in the past who have had death camps. And Alex is a scholar on the matters.
I disagree.
Hitler got into power in 1933. He wasn't sending people to death camps until 1942. He was sending people to prison.
Wow.
First he took the job, wouldn't let them have businesses, put them in ghettos. But that's how this works.
So Alex doesn't know anything about Hitler's rise to power, as he fully demonstrated a couple episodes back, but this attempt at rewriting Holocaust history is really upsetting.
Yeah, this is not good.
According to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, quote, the first concentration camps in Germany were established soon after Hitler's appointment as chancellor in January 1933. After the Night of Long Knives, the purge of the SA that took place between June 30th and July 2nd, 1934, Hitler assigned Heinrich Himmler to formalize the system of camps that was going on. The camps that were primarily for the purpose fully of extermination did come later, but even if you want to give Alex the most generous interpretation possible, Operation T4 started in January 1940, which is aimed at the systematic killing of people with disabilities in Germany. Alex's claim that the Nazis weren't sending people to death camps until 1942 is probably just him knowing that that's the year that Operation Reinhard began, when the Nazis attempted to kill all the Jews in Poland. There's a larger picture that he's unaware of or weirdly ignoring, and this should be another signifier that Alex has absolutely no idea about the reality of world history, nor does he have any respect for majorly traumatizing and traumatic world events. He should never be taken seriously as claiming to know anything.
Yeah. No, and it's not just that. And it's not even like he wants to remain ignorant or he doesn't want to learn things. It's that he actively wants to go out of his way to learn and propagate things that did not happen in order to justify his bullshit now.
Yeah.
So anything he says about history is said entirely to be like, it's totally okay for me to do whatever I want today. Has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, it's false depictions of like very, very serious things. And it's
I mean, that's just
disgusting.
That's just wild.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him.
So, you know how Hillary Clinton projects her shadow, her Jungian shadow on people?
She doesn't like her butt?
Yeah.
Is that an important thing that I've heard?
Her, Nadler, and Maxine Waters all don't like their butts.
They don't like their butts.
So they project this Jungian shadow on you. So they think that you're bad because that's their Jungian shadow that they see on you, but that's really them.
For Alex to say somebody else is projecting, it's very rude.
Well, Alex, he admits it. He projects his shadow on people too.
Okay, good.
And that's why he thinks that everybody else is good at fucking.
Oh, I project my shadow on people. I think people are powerful and amazing and have incredible ideas and have incredible sexual prowess and amazing dynamics and are just meant to build civilizations and love freedom and justice. But I've learned not to project what I believe and who I am onto others. I can only hope now. I love myself.
We know.
I have written a poem of myself to myself.
Yeah.
That is unreal.
I have learned,
there are no snakes under your bed.
I have learned not to project myself onto others. I can only hope that everyone is as good at sex as me.
There is nothing wrong with masturbating. You are very good at sex. You do not masturbate at all.
What a doofus.
What this a guy. Fucking moron.
Yeah.
Unreal.
So now we get to one of my favorite types of moments, and I think it's this.
Let's just really like boil down his projection, his understanding of Jungian shadows.
Yeah.
Comes down to Maxine Waters doesn't like her butt. I have a huge dick.
I think metaphorical butt.
No, I know. I understand. But metaphorically speaking no,
but
as
Alex
well.
Alex is literally talking
That's
about
true.
His sexual prowess.
He is literally talking about his sexual
With
prowess.
With Maxine Waters, it was just the butt. It, you know, she doesn't like her stinking butt. That's,
she hates
that's
her butt.
A metaphor.
I love my dick.
It's a metaphor with one. It's literal with the other.
Maybe it is.
So this next clip is my favorite kind of shit. This is where Alex, I think, kind of forgets what he's talking about.
Sure.
Forgets he's on air.
The best.
Then tells an incredibly depressing story. and a story that makes him look pretty bad.
He does not kill another dog.
No, dog killing.
Okay, good.
I want to take your calls. And listen,
listen.
I don't like coming to somebody and saying, hey, you need to go home. We just got a call. You're not answering your phone. Your dad just got killed in a car wreck. Or I don't like getting the call and going and telling a family member, hey, grandma's dead.
This was already really confusing as a jumping off point. But hold on to your horses.
All right, he doesn't like bad news.
Doesn't like to give it, doesn't like to get it.
Doesn't like to do it.
It's unfortunate.
Gotcha.
But it's our job to do this. And if we're not honest, you know, I hadn't seen my grandmother in probably 6 months, my dad's mom. Gosh, I guess she's been gone. My son was 2 years old. He's 18 now. So I guess she's been gone.
About
a year and a half old, I guess 17 plus years.
So close.
And I called my dad that afternoon before she died the next day. And I said, we got to go see Meemaw. He goes, you know, funny you said that. I feel like we need to go see her. And then I was on Coast to Coast AM till like 4 a.m. And my dad got there at like 7. He said, let's go. And I was laying there in the bed. He came to my house. I said, back then I was younger. I couldn't get out of bed when I was tired. Now I have no problem doing it. Prepared myself just to get up instantly. And I said, no. And I went and finally got up. And I had a beer for breakfast. And I had one more for dessert because I was really tired and only had like 2 hours sleep.
What is happening?
I'm just joking. And then I got in the car and I'm driving East Texas. And 30 minutes before I get there, he calls and says, I just got there when she died. And you missed it. See, so there's that invisible internet that the enemy knows about. Spiritual. And they are so pissed they want to control it. They don't. They'll never dominate us.
What the fuck is going on, man? So let me break down that story, because first of all, he wasn't joking when he said he was drinking in the morning.
Absolutely not. Get the fuck out of here.
He just realized that, like, oh, this looks really bad.
Shouldn't have said I drank a beer at 7. Whoops.
And then another one for dessert.
And then another one for dessert.
And then I drove.
Jesus Christ. What is happening?
I mean, the real like headline of that story is, I missed saying goodbye to my grandma because I was drinking in the morning.
Well, you could say that that's the answer to that.
Because your dad was
riddle.
There at the house, and he made it.
He got there on time, but you decided to stick around and
have
drink
a couple of
beers,
before you drive.
Yeah, in the morning.
Looks bad, Alex.
It doesn't look good.
No, just don't tell stories like that.
Don't tell stories at all.
No. And I don't know how this connects to an invisible internet that everybody has.
I guess he thinks that because they got it, they were like, let's go visit her. And then she died coincidentally. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, we just got this psychic idea that she was going to die soon.
Yeah.
But again, even if that's true.
Yeah.
Alex, you were up. And you just drank beer in the morning and then drove to visit her. This is a story about you ignoring psychic powers.
It would be.
Yeah.
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 It would be a story about you believing that your psychic powers were less important than your desire to have a breakfast beer.
I gotta listen. I had a rough one. I stayed up till 4. I gotta drink a Guinness in the morning to get going.
Yeah, look, George Norrie was chewing my ear off last night.
Exactly.
Talking about ghosts or something.
Oh my God.
So anyway, that was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But now we get into what I'm going to call Alex's main breakdown of the Super Bowl.
Okay. Okay. I forgot the Super Bowl happened.
Yeah. He doesn't talk about the halftime show or any of that stuff nearly as much as you might think.
Wow.
Because there's another thing.
It's too obviously satanic,
there's
right?
No, I don't think so. There's just another thing that's a little more important.
Okay.
And that's Alex's racism.
So, Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl, and they're just calling him a cross between Hercules and Apollo. He's being worshipped. But again, it's only a game at the end of the day. But we understand that human competition and human striving is what makes us great. So in a way, it's very wholesome. Men competing against each other, women competing against each other. But onto this, they add all the globalism. They add the propaganda. They add the anti-family, the racial separation messages.
What?
So they know you hunger for this competition.
A what now?
And then they show the so-called black quarterback.
A what now?
The Kansas team. The Kansas City team.
A what now?
Who's about as white as I am. And the media says it's racist that Tom Brady won.
Oh,
so
no.
That means Ronald McDonald's black too. He's got curly hair.
Oh boy.
Oh, boy.
It is absolutely not racist that Tom Brady won. What that was racist.
Oh, yeah. Alex, wild. Alex once again has put on one of his famous hats that is the I get to decide people's race hat.
Yep. Suppose wow
yeah
wow.
this is ugly. It goes on quite a while.
That's wild.
So the media didn't say that the game was racist. Alex is just pointing to a bunch of anonymous people on Twitter who posted jokes about a black quarterback losing during Black History Month and then pretending that it's a serious argument the media is making. I grant that a lot of people rightly don't like Tom Brady because he's a dick.
Yeah,
but this angle that Alex is taking is stupid. It's based on literally nothing, and it's deeply, deeply racist.
Very racist.
And it gets so much worse.
Yeah, if you are like, oh, I hate it when the media points out racism in the wrong way, right? But your defense of that is to get more racist.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the first part happened at all, and I think you just want an excuse to be racist.
I think it feels that way.
It feels a lot like that. It feels like you just really don't like black quarterbacks because of one Colin Kaepernick, and so any chance you have to be like, oh, the media blows what? Yeah.
I think that's oversimplifying it, because you could even greater oversimplify and just say Alex is a fucking huge racist.
Wow, there's definitely that.
It's not even about Kaepernick. It,
no.
It pre-existed that.
That is true. That is true.
And also it has to do with vegetables.
Sure.
All of it is the attempt to project onto anything and everything going on racial division. Remember, AOC said don't grow cauliflower. She saw cauliflower growing at a New York community garden. And she said, it's white. Cauliflower's from Africa, you dumb monster. What does it matter what color it is, whether it's purple or black or brown or green or red, if it tastes good, it's nutritious. But that's total mental illness, ladies and gentlemen.
We've talked about this before, but just because it's relevant, here's the full quote. Quote, what I love, too, is growing plants that are culturally familiar to the community. It's so important. So that's really how you do it right. That's such a core component of the Green New Deal, is having all these projects make sense in a cultural context. And it's an area that we get the most pushback on because people say, why do you need to do that? That's too hard. But when you really think about it, when someone's saying it's too hard to do a green space that grows yucca instead of, I don't know, cauliflower or something, what you're doing is taking a colonial approach to environmentalism. That's why a lot of communities of color get resistant to certain environmentalist movements, because they come with a colonial lens on them.
Yeah.
This is not about cauliflower being white. It has nothing to do with that. But the reason that I read that quote again, even though we've talked about this, is because you wouldn't cover this that way. You wouldn't cover this the way Alex is covering it unless you had a vested interest in trying to create a white victimhood argument for your racist audience to enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of exactly what he's doing with the Super Bowl, too. And it's bad.
I mean, it's
real bad.
It's hard not to look at all of these things because it's so awful how these people think of just like, oh, there's no way that this thing could be racist. That's just silly. You're just making a mountain out of a molehill, you know. But if you actually just listen to what people are saying and then look into it, you can find like the tiniest things are built on a fucking mountain of racism.
Yeah.
And if you look into it, if you would be interested and if you would be curious about it, you might find, holy shit, there's racism under all this stuff that I would think, oh, the penny, you think the penny's racist? And you probably look into it and it fucking is. You know, like it's that kind of shit.
And
it might not be, but you should take people's word and like it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that a lot of folks are guilty of this. I mean, it's the soundbiting of culture and information transfer.
Sure.
But people do it out of laziness sometimes and out of racism sometimes.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other motivations. But
and never forget, you can do it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I think the intersection there is that Alex is racist and he's also super lazy because he's really just reading a Paul Joseph Watson article.
What an asshole.
Because Paul Joseph Watson knows that his audience eats this stuff up. So they, like, the thing that I kept thinking while I was listening to this is like, These dicks thought this was worth their time.
I saw a Paul Joseph Watson article this morning at Infowars.com saying Tom Brady winning Super Bowl is racist. Oh, this is a joke. So I read about 20 tweets by black people saying it. I didn't believe it. I went to their accounts. They were serious, and I read hundreds more.
Ooh.
They said it's so insulting he beat a black man. There was a lot of black men helped Tom Brady win that Super Bowl, and I'm telling you, they were black, folks.
Whoa.
The quarterback, I guess it's a gimmick, kind of like, who's the leader, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter? He's totally white.
What is happening?
And you got that other white lady said she was black, and she said have one drop of African in her. I mean,
what
folks,
are we doing
this
here?
This is insane.
Do you think you're winning?
Because, you know, Brady had at least like a half-white team with the New England Patriots. They said, oh, God, it's white people winning. But his Buccaneers team's almost all black. What the hell does it even matter what color he is? But this is the mental illness. I thought the tweets had to be a joke. But it's all about the fact that he wasn't ashamed of President Trump, who was a fan before he was president.
You seem to be the one who's upset.
You seem very upset.
Very.
Very upset. Ridiculously over-the-top upset.
And pretty racist.
Very racist.
And then once they slaughtered him, I didn't even watch the end of it, because it was just such a collapse by the other team. And they're like, look, the black quarterback's losing. Dude, that other quarterback had whiter skin than I do.
I
guess I'll curl my hair and say I'm black.
Oh.
But it doesn't even matter. It's like, what the hell does that have to do with anything? What color a quarterback is.
Exactly.
It's how good they play.
Wild.
You know, if Tom Brady was a black guy, he would be just as famous or probably more so, and I would still think he was an amazing quarterback.
I
challenge feel good about myself because of my own personal successes. Not because, like, oh, my skin's pink. But that's mental illness, ladies and gentlemen. Talk about colors I like. There's nobody
what
that's the color I like.
Happening?
I like green. My dad knows that. He gave me a green watch. Maybe I'm a Martian. I mean, I got a purple shirt on, folks. I like purple people. I like eggplant. This is mental illness, ladies and gentlemen. I got a black microphone. What does that mean? I like how it looks.
What?
Back in the day, nobody had black microphones. Everybody copies me.
I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't know what's happening.
What was that? What was that?
I don't know.
If your uncle started, at a certain point, you put rolls in your uncle's mouth to keep him from talking.
I am honestly confused by his idea that everyone's ripping him off with black microphones.
I just don't know.
I think that it's all just about Rush. He used to have a gold microphone, and Alex is trying to be like, I was different.
Sure.
Something. I don't
sure.
know.
Sure. That's a startlingly racist thing that he's wow.
Yeah. And now he goes back to comparing Mahomes to Sean King and Rachel Dolezal. And man, this is
not good.
No.
It's not good.
But I know you all know that, but it's the way they project. Yeah. What's that idiot's name? Sean King. No African blood. I mean, just look at him.
Boy.
He takes on the identity of black people so he can raise hundreds of millions of dollars. And then who's the other lady? The blonde-haired lady that, like, frizzes her hair out and puts what's her name? Rachel Dolezal. Yeah. I mean, it's sick, folks. It's absolutely sick. And it's mentally ill. But I'm digressing. I'm almost out of time in this segment. I wanted to illustrate. Let's just keep rolling it. Tom Brady knows that it's not as bad as the flu or pneumonia, knows that it's a hoax, refuses to wear his mask at the beginning, after the game, and they're so mad at him. He did that on purpose. That makes me like Tom Brady way more than the fact that he is the greatest of all time, no doubt in the NFL. He's now the greatest of all time, not being a coward like the other white dude posing as a black dude on the other team that got his ass ran over. Maybe if you'd had a black quarterback, you would have not lost. They got some real black quarterbacks, and another quarterback's great.
That right there is the tell that Alex is racist trolling.
Oh, yeah.
That right there, when he's laughing, he's like, the quarterback's actually pretty, you know, he's pretty good. That is the signifier.
But my point is, I mean, he was like throwing passes when he's being tackled that people are catching. Yeah, I mean, look at this, ladies and gentlemen. There's Rachel Dolezal or whatever the hell her name is. But this is all the globalists trying to get us to infight with each other. Yeah, there's the black quarterback.
And I mean, you know, he's look at that hair. He's getting that curled, folks. He's in there hours a week getting it all like that. So he can say he's black. What was his great, 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 great granddaddy black?
This is where we realize that Alex doesn't realize that Mahomes' dad was a professional baseball player.
Yeah. He's not very interested in that.
This is so racist.
Nah, this is wildly racist to adjust. I'm amazed that you can keep going. I feel like you already nailed your racism and you're done, you know? Mm-hmm. Like he said, he might as well just be like, I don't believe anybody's black if I don't want them to, and then you're done.
Alex's white
finished.
Alex's white insecurity and his white identity got it really alarmed by people making jokes about Mahomes losing during Black History Month. And the only way that he could deal with that is to do an outrageously racist segment on his show that goes on and on and on, where he tries to be the arbiter of saying that he's not actually even black.
Yeah.
To what end is this?
I am confused.
Yeah.
I am very confused.
By?
I don't know, just the continued existence of the universe to a certain extent, you know, like part of me is like, I don't understand how this country has made it as long as it has, if it has rewarded this moron so much, you know, like there's a fundamental confusion I get from listening to this of just like how, who, why? What are we doing?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
So Alex plays a clip of Joe Biden. He had a little message before the Super Bowl.
See, that's what, sorry. I have to. This is what got to me. This is what I realized was screwing with my head.
Mm-hmm.
Apologies for interrupting.
Sure.
And derailing this entire show.
No problem.
Where I'm fired. I get it.
No problem.
I remember something important happening right now that a sophisticated news political show would talk about, and that is not Tom Brady. The president that he thinks is God is being impeached.
Have you seen...
Like, is there anything...
Have you seen Mahomes' hair, though? Alex needs to talk about it.
You can't be that mad about the devil being the president. Ugh.
So Biden gave a little bit of a little message.
You're right.
And
yes.
A moment of silence for the people lost to COVID-19
at
the Super Bowl. And Alex has a video of it where it sounds like people are booing Biden.
Sure.
It's unclear if this video is authentic because there are other videos that don't really have, you know, like some applause and then some crowd noise.
Sure.
But who cares?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
I don't remember Alex reporting about how everyone booed the shit out of Trump.
No,
game.
No, that wasn't a big deal.
So anyway, I don't care. But he does cover that. And he's like, oh, look at this guy getting booed. And then he gets into his analysis of the commercials. Mostly just the Springsteen commercial.
And it's Bruce Springsteen riding around like he's John Wayne. He supports taking your guns. He supports breaking it. He supports transgender stuff in the bathrooms with your kids. He hates Trump. Look it up. Oh, but now he's the good guy going to bring you together. He's Bruce Springsteen. He's the spirit of America. Here is this disgustingly condescending ad.
Four years ago, I was in the middle of a custody battle.
Boots on.
There's a chapel in Kansas, standing on the exact center of the lower 48. It never closes. All are more than welcome.
More than
to come meet here in the middle.
I don't care for that ad myself, but I don't think Alex has any right to complain or critique commercials.
No.
It's a little bit obnoxious. So Alex had, you know, he said he's going to take some calls, and so he gets around to it, but he comes in from break, and the board op, or maybe whoever it is, surprises him with a little bit of Elvis.
Oh.
So, we are just counting down here. Counting down. Oh, is this Elvis? Let's hear a little bit of this. We're counting down to the false flag.
Section 2, take 7.
Next hour, I'm going to premiere the proof of them coming for you and me.
He doesn't.
At least you know they're coming. A little less talk, a little more action.
Wrong song.
I guess that's what the left wants to give us. Bye-bye.
Emergency alert. Loveless preparing massive false flags. It's a pretext for Soviet-style purge. Watch live. Woo! And just watch it all happen.
So this Elvis song that is a little less conversation, a little more action. It's just Let Yourself Go.
Yeah.
This gets Alex into a little bit of a mood, and he starts rambling.
You know, he's been mad about black people and white people playing football, so it's nice to listen to music of a white man stealing black people's music. It's nice, yeah.
And that makes Alex
comforting.
That makes him want to kill.
I mean, a shotgun shack out in the middle of the woods with my lady listening to this. You ain't got no ways to a case of Jack Daniels. Just put your arms around me real tight. Enjoy yourself, baby. Don't fight. Right, I'm going to stop being mad. I'm not going to drink any. I'm joking. Oh, let ourselves go into war, too. That going to be fun, a little bit of civil war. Kind of the same type of deal, isn't it? Woo! Once it's going on, nobody's scared no more, except those people that are dying when the killers come. When the killers come, when the dying starts, when the praying to mommy starts, don't look like the left's much ready for a war, but they sure want one because they ain't ever been in one. All right, I didn't know they were going to play that old bumper music. That's I like me some Elvis. I apologize for ranting here. We got Catherine. We got Pastor Sam. We got Harry. We got Tyler. We got Terry. We got Kevin. We got Steve. We got James. We got Chris. We got Mike and Russell. We got 20-something callers, and I said I want 7 on that board because I don't want to keep people on hold. But let's just go to them now while we sit here waiting for that big old juicy false flag terror attack so they can start that civil war and break this country up real nice.
I think Alex might have had a meeting with somebody in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, might have got a little bit of a little pep in his step. So he's going.
We got Mike, we got Rams, we got Terry, we got Paul, we got Jesse, we got Jesse.
So his first caller is a guy who calls in all the time named Pastor Sam. Uh-huh. And one of the things that I find really interesting about Alex's techniques with callers is he creates false conflict with them often. Whenever they disagree with him on like a minute point, he'll create a false fight with them to sort of frame their position in a certain way that he can respond to that doesn't allow the nuance of the matter to be dealt with. In this case, Alex had made some comments about how, you know, if the gun confiscators come, you don't want to be at home. You don't want to start a fight with the police because that's, you know, that's how the whole civil war is going to start. If you end up doing that, no, you got to target the high-level globalists.
Sure.
And Pastor Sam's position is more like, if they're coming to take our guns, then it's already past the point.
You would think.
And that nuance is dangerous for Alex to have because...
Yeah, it would hurt his brain.
Well, and it requires that his actual positions sound a lot more like... aggressively and immediately violent than he wants them to, and then he thinks can be profitable. So he starts a fight.
But don't worry, we got patriots think it's time for war too. Pastor Sam, I see you strongly disagree with me. This is not the time to lie down. You know, Pastor Sam, I didn't say lie down. I said if the cops are coming to confiscate guns at your house, it's a good idea to not be waiting for them and kill them because they've been brainwashed. I get at a certain point it's going to start up here. But
what?
That's not lying down. I'm saying the target isn't the police. So if they get the police to come for our guns, I'm a big boy. I'm a smart boy. Then I would want to go after, which I'm not saying do, the actual people that were running the show.
Nice
but
save
you
there.
You call that lying down. Tell me, Pastor Sam, how to be a man. Tell me how to do it.
Well, I know you said to dispense with the niceties, but first I'm going
to
tell you.
Tell me how to be a man, Sam.
I'm going to tell you that I love you and that I'm a prayer partner for what you're doing. And I've followed you for 20 years.
Yeah, so Alex is he's created this tone that is completely artificial with this call. So there's no hope of any point actually being discussed, and there isn't. It just goes nowhere.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep. So he goes to another call, and this person has a very, very easy-to-answer question.
Okay.
Catherine in Canada, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi there. Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead. Welcome.
Good. Okay. I want to make a point about the January 6th event, for all these people that think there was just Trump supporters, for 5 years there was a counter-protest at every Trump event. I just want to ask these people that want to just blame Trump people, where was their counter-protest that day?
People in those communities felt very strongly that it would be too dangerous.
Yeah.
They dissuaded people from taking part because they didn't want people to more people to be killed.
Yeah, they were like, hey, stay away. These people are violent. Trump supporters might kill people at this thing. And then they were roundly mocked. And then Trump supporters killed people at that thing. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a super easy to answer question. Yes. Yeah. And this is not the first time that this has happened. There were greatly diminished counter-protesting that happened at the gun rally in Virginia.
Yeah.
The one that Alex went to, and they tried to be very insightful at, inciting at, not insightful.
Yeah.
yeah, that happens sometimes. The counter-protest folk, I believe, prioritize safety.
They like to live.
And a lot of times those people will be a little bit more responsible. And in the case of January 6th, there was pretty consistent messaging that I saw from people that that I'm aware of that this is not a good thing to go counter demonstrate.
What I'd like to know is, where were the counter-protesters at the thing that we said was going to be a violent display of our power?
Yeah, the implication, of course, is that they were mixed in the crowd.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but that's all bullshit. So, I, you know, Alex is yelling, doing this fake fighting with his calls, and I'm like, this guy is fucked up. I think he's doing speed.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me when I'm cutting ads to not get overly excited.
Agreed.
People ask me all the time, they go, Jones, are you on cocaine? Are you on meth?
Yes.
How are you so excited?
Why are you starting another ad? If people are always asking you if you're on drugs, there's a decent chance you're on drugs. Oh, and when you go on Joe Rogan's show and Joe Rogan asks you about how you told him that you have a problem with Adderall.
Well.
That's a little bit.
Well.
That one's a little bit more like the picture's starting to come into focus.
Yeah, we had a real rough start of this show and now the energy is flying high.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Almost like someone took something.
Yeah, it's almost because usually as you work throughout the day, you get more tired, you know, and maybe. I've had this happen before, Dan. Have you ever been working for like 6 hours, right?
Yeah.
And you know you got some more work to do, but right around that 6 hours, you're just so tired, and you could just really use a pick-me-up, you know?
Sure.
So you go get a cup of coffee, or you go into the bathroom and you snort some rails.
Yeah.
You do what you gotta do to make it through the last 2 hours, Dan.
I'm not saying that is the case, but I'm really coming around on the idea that he's on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, it makes a lot of sense. And I think the fact that Rogan asked him that question really, really makes me a bit more open to the idea, because why would Rogan bring that up if it wasn't something that Alex had brought up with him?
And it sounded like it was coming from a place of genuine concern as
compassion,
well.
Compassion.
Yes.
Friendship.
Yep. Yep. Hey, I don't want you to keep hurting yourself, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
and there we are.
And Alex keeps saying that everybody insists he's on drugs.
Everybody keeps saying that I'm taking these two drugs that I consistently, you know, and it's just like, I take a little coke, I take a little meth, but you do a little bit of each. That way you don't have to do as much.
Look, give me a cup. I'll piss in it now. So I got, like I told you at the beginning of this, I got really excited because Alex said he's going to have Jay Dyer on.
Yes.
And they're going to talk. This guy is the guy who's the primary source reader.
Right.
And all this. I immediately lost all respect for
him. Oh, no.
What would you call this period of time we're in right now? Because I think it's pretty clear. They're saying patriots are terrorists. They're going to arrest us all. We're about to stage terror attacks. Clearly, they're getting ready to stage terror attacks. In my view, do you agree with that? And what would you call this period of time we're in, and what are you doing to get ready for it? Because every few generations goes through some real tyranny. We're about to go through a big one.
This is the age of transition, right? This is their phraseology for how we go from the way things were during this Christian period of the age of, you know, Pisces, the age of the fish, to the Aquarian age, which is what Blavatsky, right, one of the esoteric philosophers that the elite always like to look to. She called this the externalization of the hierarchy.
Holy shit. Go tell Carrie Cassidy about it.
No shit.
Oh, God.
Boo!
I want a Blavatsky.
Boo!
Now, my worldview is based on this woman from the 1830s who thought she could do magic.
Jesus.
And my fear that other people have learned to do magic from her.
You know, the problem that I'm having... Look, he's a moron. That's to be expected. The problem that I'm having is J. Dyer is a great DJ name. It's just
bad.
Such a great DJ name.
Yeah.
I would love to be J. Dyer.
Mm.
That's so good. You know, Jay Dill is great. Jay Dyer's great. It'd be awesome.
Mm.
Have a collaboration with his ghost. Because apparently Jay Dyer believes that those ghosts can talk to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Edgar Casey can connect me with DJs of the past through David Wilcock spirit.
You do not need to do any voices.
Yeah, you don't need to do scratching on the records. Wait. Okay, so this next clip, Jordan. I don't really care about him and Dyer's interview. It is dumb.
Yeah, no, I've already established
whenever
that.
When you start with Helena Blavatsky, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
That's kind of a rule of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have fun conversations with friends about these sorts of things. And, you know, we can talk about stuff. But when you want to make me scared of your big bad guy enemies and insist that they follow the teachings of Helena Blavatsky.
Yeah.
I'm out.
That's one step further than if somebody's like, you know, the Unabomber did make some good points, though. I know there's stuff, you know.
I think it's a little more fun because at least there's magic involved.
That's true.
Anyway, so Alex gets to talking about Trump a little bit here. And he says something that I find unacceptable.
Okay.
If you listen to this clip and you understand what Alex is saying... The last 5 years of Alex's life have been wrong.
Uh-huh.
They've been meaningless.
Yes.
And Alex has been an instrumental part of the globalists' plan to bring in tyranny.
Does he know that?
I think Trump meant well. He was a nationalist. He knew America was being screwed over. But that the establishment let him win. He did win by a landslide 4 years ago because they knew they could run circles around him and use him to energize the left to basically commit any crime. And then support a total police state and abandon any values they had. And I think that's clearly evident now from my perspective that at a sophisticated level, we were all played.
Wow.
So you are a useful idiot, exactly like you claimed you were not to a guy 3 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no other way to interpret that. Because, I mean, I guess the left wouldn't have been... turned into whatever this is that would facilitate tyranny if Clinton had won.
Sure.
So I guess the only way to reach the point where actual tyranny could happen, Trump had to win.
Right.
And Alex has said many, many times that Trump wouldn't have won if it wasn't for InfoWars.
It does seem like that.
And that would also heavily imply that Roger Stone is working for the globalists because he got Alex to...
Hell yeah.
Be this bully pulpit for Trump.
Yeah. You know what? I could believe that. Or maybe Alex is making all of this stuff up, Dan.
Yeah, Alex is making all this stuff up.
I think he might just be making it all up.
Yeah, he's just spitballing and nothing he says means anything. But if he were being serious, he would then have to, the next thought should be, and I should shut up.
Yeah,
because
I should quit.
Yeah.
Because clearly I make all the wrong decisions that led us to this point. This is my fault?
The last half a decade, I have been leading you to tyranny.
Exactly.
And a police state. And I've made multiple documentaries with police state in the title. I'm supposed to know better.
Exactly. And not just that, but you followed me to get to where we are.
Uh-huh.
Meaning I am the reason that we are where we are, and I am a bad leader, and you should not follow me anymore.
Now, 4 years ago, I was going through a divorce.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm back on your side.
So we got one.
Are you selling anything?
Maybe. Wait around for 3 minutes.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Look. We got one last clip here.
Okay.
And it's like, I think everybody kind of expected there to be more talk about the Super Bowl halftime show as opposed to Alex just being racist.
Sure, but that's every time. When you think he's going to zig, he zogs. That's what he does.
So he talks about the halftime show a tiny bit with Jay Dyer. And like, this clip is just titled Stupid Talk About Halftime Show. Because this is stupid.
But you were mentioning to me, did you see that halftime show? And I don't normally watch the Super Bowl because I knew Tom Brady wouldn't be wearing a mask. I knew I like him. I watched it. They're all wearing skull masks. They're subhuman, but the one guy has speech, and they all, like puppets, do what he says. This was very sick. At a subconscious level, it means you are robots in a fascist event. You are skeletons. You are dead. I control you.
Exactly. A lot of things going on here, symbolically speaking. It began with this choir of robots, drones, right? So everybody's up in the choir with the weekend guy there singing, and they're all just sort of doing what they're like, you know, puppets, like they're on a marionette, right?
I just, my response to all of this kind of conversation is like, if you guys are just high, kicking around like a hacky sack, and this is the conversation you want to have, great. But if you're adults on a presumably grown-up world events radio show that you take very seriously, this is unbecoming.
Yeah.
This kind of conversation is laughably stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you're all drones and only the weekend has a voice.
Yeah, and the only people who should be allowed to publicly discuss the semiotics of this event would be somebody, it would be like Umberto Eco, who could be like, maybe, I'm going to put this in the context of all of this others. But even then, it's a fucking Super Bowl halftime show. Guys, go to bed.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I want to ask as a rhetorical question, but I also want an answer. These types of things have been going on forever. Mm-hmm. Talking about the symbology of halftime shows and the symbology of these music videos and all this shit.
Yeah.
I want to know, these motherfuckers, people like Jay Dyer, they pretend that they study this stuff.
Uh-huh.
That it's like an actual field of information. I want concrete examples of things that they've known in advance because of these symbols that they read in music videos and halftime shows.
Dan.
I would love to...
It's all around you.
What?
The evidence. Look out your window, Dan.
See, that's why
that's the halftime
show. That's why I wanted it to be rhetorical.
That's the Super Bowl halftime show.
I just want to know what magical, like, psychic revelations you get from. Oh, also, they took off the masks in the second song in the performance.
Oh, my God.
But who cares? Who cares? Yeah, I find this stuff really dumb. I used to really enjoy reading blogs that would talk about, like, people covering one eye and being a sign of the Illuminati when I was young
and high all the time. Yes. How many Super Bowl halftime shows are even memorable, and none of them for their semiotics?
Janet Jackson.
Exactly. Yep. That was not the semiotics of what she was wearing.
No. The Prince hologram one a couple years ago, wasn't there? That was kind of bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's it. Who gives a shit about the halftime show? It's a thing we talk about.
People like Alex care a lot.
It's a thing we talk about every year for a day, and then we're done. Let's just not talk about it for that day.
I think that there's a lot of potential for like interesting performance. I think that, you know, God bless people who, you know, really, really try.
Sure. Choreographers are great.
Yeah. And I think that I'm just aged out of the point where I can get too excited about a lot of the musical acts, but I can still appreciate, like, oh, I get it. You know, like, I can watch The Weeknd's performance. I can be like, this is not necessarily for me. It's not my favorite thing, but I get it.
Look at him performing the hell out of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fodder for people who have a tough time coming up with things to talk about, and for people like Alex who just need to be mad at something. And the Super Bowl is such a perfect thing in that wheelhouse for Alex, because you have the, like, sublimating of male drives to war that he can complain about, whatever symbology is in the halftime show he can complain about, and apparently the race of people, and whether or not they constitute being black, according to Alex Jones, which is fucking disgraceful.
That is really disqualifying as, like, allowed in polite society ever again. Ooh. Yeah, like, you should be shunned. Like, that deserves a shunning.
It would be interesting for someone to, like, sit down and try to explain to Alex exactly why that display was so flagrantly racist.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would understand.
I don't think it's possible. I think he just needs a good universal shunning. Mm. Everybody shun him.
I think most people have gotten that message.
I think so, too. Yeah. We need some more, though, Dan. Let's raise up the shunning.
Sure. So anyway, we reached the end of this episode, and Alex apparently did not enjoy the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I thought we were going to get to the impeachment trial stuff today, but because it was Tuesday, it got started.
Sure.
That will come on the Friday episode. We'll check in, see how Alex is handling all that stuff. But I do think that this episode is important to go over because of the incredible racism.
Wow.
And because of the clear turn towards really aggressively being like, false flags are coming.
Yeah.
They are coming.
Yeah,
they are
coming.
I guarantee they're going to happen.
Yep.
And you can't read that any other way than preemptive damage control when it's coming from someone like Alex, someone
Absolutely.
Who is so invested in terrorist edging.
Yep.
And we'll be back on Friday to discuss impeachment business.
Indeed we will, Dan.
I understand you were watching it today because I saw some tweets.
Yeah, I had some fun. Bruce Castor is... I mean, that was one of the most fundamentally disgraceful things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Bad argumentation?
No. No argumentation. Just rambling.
Gotta call Barnes.
Just randomly. Just like, hey, you know what? Being a senator is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We're extraordinary people here.
You know, it'd be great. Like, Trump's lawyers are doing terribly, right?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, you hear glass break.
Oh,
Barnes comes walking down.
Oh, man. All the senators socially distance, and he's high-fiving each Republican.
Chuck Schumer just runs up to him. Barnes kicks him in the gut, gives him a stunner.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that would be the best.
Absolutely. But Larry Klayman coming from the sting spot and drops down right
with
on top of Barnes. Yeah, exactly.
That's WCW.
Whatever.
Sting and Hogan.
Okay.
The Rock in Stone Cold.
I got it.
Anyway, we'll be back.
Indeed.
But tell them we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight. Now go to Ben Jordan.
Yeah, we're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. iTunes. If you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work right now.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. 4 years ago, I was... this is an ad.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.